The conflict between Israel and Hezbollah escalates step by step.
Now, last week, Hezbollah pagers and walkie-talkies exploded. Then Israel conducted its deadliest strike in Lebanon in decades. Yesterday, Hezbollah rockets landed deeper in Israel than in the past. This morning, Israel is carrying out extensive strikes in Lebanon and publishing this video warning to some Lebanese villagers. It says, if you suspect Hezbollah is hiding weapons in your area, evacuate immediately.
References to schools there. Let's try to understand what Israel is aiming to achieve with NPR correspondent Daniel Estrin, who's in Haifa in northern Israel. Hey there, Daniel.
Good morning, Steve.
How is Israel explaining what it's doing here?
You know, it's signaling that it wants to gradually increase its strikes on Hezbollah, but not cause an all-out regional war. And it really seems that Hezbollah is kind of acting in kind. It's gradually broadened its strikes, but not enough to spark a bigger war either. Israel really is driving the initiative here. It argues that Hezbollah could do what Hamas did on October 7th last year and storm across the border. So Israel says it wants to degrade Hezbollah's rocket-launching capabilities to distance, eventually, Hezbollah fighters from the Israeli border, and to allow Israeli families that were evacuated from that northern border region to return to their homes safely. We are here in North Israel. NPR producer Itai Stern spoke this morning with some Israelis who are pleased with what Israel is doing with Hezbollah. This is Haifa resident Ruti Lamed.
It's straight out of the movies. It was time. I hope it will finish quickly.
Now, Israel's defense minister is telling the public this is a new phase of the war. There's more to come.
Although when you say you're in Haifa, you're closer to the rocket fire out of Lebanon. Are Israelis prepared for more?
Well, yeah, here in Haifa, it is calm. It's a bit eerie, though. Schools are closed. Many restaurants are only open for takeout. You do hear the rumble of warplanes every once in a while. Hospitals are preparing, especially for maybe possible Hezbollah rocket attacks. We watched Rambam Hospital, the biggest hospital in this area, transfer its patients underground to a fortified parking garage. We spoke with deputy director of that hospital, Avi Weissman.
It's a little bit complicated to move all the hospital, including delivery rooms, including ICUs, ventilated patients. It's really, really complicated.
So people are calm, but, you know, with any military action in Israel, there are always some who are opposed to Israel's moves as they are in Lebanon. I met a dozen Israeli anti-war protesters on the street this weekend. Listen to Orit Zaks.
I would like them to stop provoking and stop playing with Hezbollah like a cat and mouse all the time. They create more and more escalations, so we don't have time to cry over the disaster that we have suffered.
You know, she's referring to the Gaza war. She says Israel should end the Gaza war and get the hostages freed.
Talking to people here, I do feel people get confused, and so I need to explain once again. Hezbollah is to the north of Israel. They are based in Lebanon. They are allied with Hamas, the group that is in Gaza and is at the center of the Gaza war. There's an effort to have a ceasefire in Gaza. Where do the talks stand?
The talks between Israel and Hamas have been frozen for weeks, and now we're seeing Israel taking this new initiative in Lebanon. So we are looking at what is just the beginning of perhaps a new front.
NPR's Daniel Estrin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
World leaders are gathering at the United Nations in New York this week.
Amid high security, they'll meet each other in a glittering city to talk about parts of the world that do not glitter at all. Samantha Power, the Biden administration's lead official on aid, assessed the situation.
With greater displacement, more prospect of famine than we have seen in generations, and the significant risk of escalating violence in parts of the world like the Middle East, you know, this is an incredibly important week.
Which NPR's Michelle Kellerman will be covering, as she has annually for years. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning.
So what did Ambassador Power say the United States intends to do about all the problems she described?
Well, this is President Biden's swan song speech at the UN General Assembly on Tuesday. But the high-level week isn't just about these speeches. It's really about the meetings on the sidelines to try to push forward diplomacy. You heard Power talk about the need for that in Gaza and the escalating war between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. That will likely overshadow everything, especially if, as expected, Israel's prime minister comes here midweek. But there's, you know, a lot of other conflicts that the Biden administration wants to highlight. There's Haiti and the slow efforts to get gang violence under control and get that country back on a path to elections. And there is, of course, Sudan, which is what she was talking about with that famine.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that one then. What does the administration intend to do there with what is described as the world's worst humanitarian crisis? Not as many headlines as some others, but considered the worst.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and others involved in the diplomacy did manage to get some promises to open up aid routes in Sudan, but Samantha Power says that's really just not enough.
There is no way to humanitarian assistance our way out of this crisis. The only way to, in an enduring way, to get out of this crisis, the only way civilians will have access to food going forward in a reliable way for the end of the war.
The end of the war, and that means getting the Sudanese armed forces and a paramilitary known as the RSF to negotiate. And the trouble is, Steve, there's just a lot of other countries that are fueling this crisis. The United Arab Emirates is one. They're backing the RSF, and Biden administration officials have been quietly pressing the UAE to cut it out, to stop that. The UN General Assembly is really a chance to get all these leaders of, and foreign ministers together to work on these solutions. And that's, you know, one area where they hope to make some progress.
You know, when I heard her say there's no way to humanitarian assistance our way out of this crisis, it occurred to me that that could apply to a lot of places.
Yeah, including Gaza.
Yeah, yeah, to say the least. And then there's Ukraine. What is the administration likely to say about Ukraine?
Well, the focus is really going to be on planning to help Ukraine get through another winter of war, how to protect critical infrastructure from Russian attacks. There's a meeting about that today. There's also a Security Council meeting this week, but very little gets done there. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is coming, and he's going to present what he's calling his plan for victory. But he's been trying to rally more support around the world to end the war in a way that preserves Ukraine's territorial integrity. Russia's a permanent Security Council member. It does have outsized influence at the UN and veto power, so really not much gets done there.
NPR's Michelle Kellerman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Police in Birmingham, Alabama, are looking for suspects in a mass shooting. It killed four people and left at least 17 wounded over the weekend.
The incident took place Saturday night in a popular entertainment district. It also has the city's mayor talking about the need to solve the gun violence epidemic in America.
Andrew Yeager is covering this story. He's with our member station WBHM in Birmingham. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
What happened?
Well, police say that they believe this was a targeted killing, possibly a murder for hire. They say multiple suspects drove into that entertainment area, got out of a vehicle, began shooting, and then left in a vehicle. And this happened outside of a hookah bar where people were lined up to go inside. Mm. Police believe that one of the people killed was the intended victim, while others were just caught in the crossfire. Now, in terms of the guns, authorities say they were fully automatic weapons. These might involve Glock switches, which convert semi-automatic weapons into fully automatic weapons. The devices are banned under federal law, although Alabama has no equivalent state-level ban.
Andrew, every detail you're giving me is like a gut punch, that only one person was targeted, that so many were hit by these fully automatic weapons. So what does Birmingham's mayor say about this?
Well, Mayor Randall Woodfin called gun violence an American epidemic. He added that Birmingham is at the tip of that spear. But he also said gun violence is a solvable problem if people work together. He specifically called out elected leaders.
Elected officials, locally, statewide, and nationally have a duty to solve this American crisis, this American epidemic of gun violence. We should not allow people to just ride around with any style type of weapon that doesn't even belong on domestic streets. It should not be allowable, period. I don't care what your politics are.
Woodfin went on to say that to attack gun violence, law enforcement needs stronger laws, particularly at the local level. And he went on to say that leaders owe it to the victims, to their families, to the community to actually solve that problem of gun violence.
One of the ways that this is different from some other mass shootings is that our attackers got away. You don't have somebody who's been shot. You don't have somebody who's been arrested. So where does the investigation go from here?
Well, police say that they're reviewing surveillance footage of the incident, but beyond that, they're really imploring the public to come forward with any information that they might have. Here's Birmingham Police Chief Scott Thurman.
really, it just comes down to just some time, information from the public, and us just doing our job. So I can assure you that us doing our job is not going to be an issue. It's the public's assistance is where it's really going to come down to at the end of the day.
The Saturday night shooting follows another shooting that happened at an event hall during an adult birthday party in Birmingham back in July. 4 people were killed in that event, about 10 wounded. No one was arrested in that case. Authorities, I should mention, don't believe there's a link between these two shootings. But it is an instance of how violent Birmingham has been this year.
How bad a year has it been?
Well, the city has already seen 123 homicides this year. The record is 148 that was set back in 1933. And there's a variety of reasons for the increase, including the availability of guns. And officers say another problem is just a culture of tit-for-tat violence, where criminals escalate their responses to skirmishes and disagreements, and it explodes into shootings.
Andrew Yeager, managing editor at WBHM in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks so much.
Thank you.